FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast.
For years, we've all been told that our government was being controlled by a foreign power. There were spies in our midst. The president of the United States was one of them. He was disloyal, a quisling, an agent of a nation that hates us and seeks our destruction. That man was at the helm of our country, destroying democracy, undermining our values, poisoning this nation from within. It was terrifying. And millions of Americans were terrified. Some wept as they talked about their fear and helplessness. Now we know that none of that was true. You would think the relief at learning this would be overpowering, like finding out a terminal illness was just a cold. The long and bitter war has ended. We are safe.
We are safe, America. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy No Collusion Tuesday.
Is that going to be a week-long theme?
I may say that all week. It's just been a great week, hasn't it?
Already.
It's only Tuesday.
No kidding. No kidding. It just keeps getting better and better and better. This Avenatti character. Oh, he's out of jail, by the way, so you feel. Because he's a local boy, right?
Yes, he is.
Where do you say he graduated from?
Parkway Central.
Parkway Central. Mm-hmm. He's 48 years old, in case you were there around that time. Didn't remember the guy skulking in the corner selling drugs to everyone.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
This is how
I don't know anything about
started.
I was going to say, good grief. I hadn't heard that.
Did you hear on the Mark Cox Morning Show?
Well, you know, here's the great thing about it is that this guy, what makes it even sweeter is that this guy's been a complete thorn in the president's side since he first came out with this whole thing. And do you remember one of the president's first comments about Michael Avenatti? Listen to this. This is from back in the summer. Hold on.
If you look at this lawyer that just came out, he's a lowlife. He represented Democrats. Nobody ever talks about that. He's a Democrat lawyer. Not a very good one, but he's a Democrat lawyer. So it's a horrible con game. I think the people are finding it out. And hopefully over the next couple of days, it will be settled up and solved.
The president had it figured out pretty early. Did you pick up on that? I'm sorry. Excuse me while I revel in the discomfort of the left over all of this. Or you don't have to. I don't really care. I'm just saying.
You're happy.
I'm planning to have a really good time with this week, just so you're all aware. And that's just kind of how it's going to go down. You know, the thing about it is that people like David Brooks of the Wall Street Journal, national editorial writer, right? Hard left liberal. Chris Cuomo on CNN. Who will still look you in the eyes and tell you that he's a middle of the road fair journalist. To a person, they all need to be on an apology tour to the president of the United States. And to be honest, of those people who were the worst offenders, David Brooks is the only one who has actually come out and done anything close to an apology. And we're going to talk about that this morning because, it was way overdue. And it was one of those apologies that, you know, if you were fighting with your significant other and they gave you they said this to you, you would say, wait a minute, that wasn't really an apology.
Right.
It's kind of one of those, but he's the closest one to actually say that. Of course, he wants to include Republicans and conservative pundits in the apology too. He thinks they should be offering an apology too. It's just watching them squirm has absolutely made my week. If I can just point that out. Anyway, what in the world else is going on? How about that? Steve Stinger finally responds to.
He responded, yeah.
With a one word statement.
What else is he going to do? Fight the subpoena?
I will cooperate.
Yeah.
That's it. The folks at Better Together went to Jeff City yesterday, refiled their petition with like a one-word change.
Right.
Not the change we're all looking for. There's no hope, no change.
And the city of Creve Coeur passed a resolution last night saying they don't want any part of the merger.
Mm-hmm.
Kirkwood meets tonight, some sort of, you know, a meeting, a, question and answer session, I guess, going on in Kirkwood. I don't know if any resolution would necessarily be passed. That's not how they made it look. But Creve Coeur joins the list of cities saying no.
I don't know what city would be in favor of this.
Yeah.
I don't. Which puts them in a real quandary, because if Stenger gets replaced for some reason, we don't know with whom, but if it happens to be somebody who's against the merger, and yet that individual is supposed to be the king of the new unified kingdom, what do you do?
Conflict there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in a bit of a pickle. Should be interesting.
However, you think there's going to be another refiling in Jefferson City of the plan?
I think there could be multiple refilings of the plan, right? Hopefully, when you were in college or high school, you had that professor who was willing to let you take another stab at it if you got a bad grade the first time. Is there any limit to the number? The Secretary of State's office ought to put a limit on the number of times you can refile a petition because you were too dumb to do it right the first time. I mean, seriously. They've got some of the smartest academicians in St. Louis together from various universities putting this thing together. They supposedly spent 5 years doing it, and they've already had to resubmit it twice, and they still haven't even addressed the biggest problems with it, which is not letting us have a local vote. But I'm getting distracted. It's no collusion Tuesday. We're going to have a little bit of fun with that. We are. Got a great show for you today. Stick around. We've got Representative Dan Stacey is going to join us about 7:10 this morning. He has filed a bill that would close Missouri's primaries. We have a little bit of an unusual situation here in Missouri where you can walk into a primary and vote in for the other party's candidate, which means you can affect the outcome of who the other party has on the ballot. Ask Claire McCaskill how that works. And he wants to end that in Missouri. We're going to get him on here talking about that about 7:10 this morning. 7:37, 2A Tuesday is going to be interesting. Valinda Rowe is going to join us from Illinois Carry. She's been involved in the Illinois Rifle Association for a long time. They're having a big rally in Springfield tomorrow. So you've still got time to, we're going to tell you more about that and what's going on over there with another one of their crazy gun regulations. So we're going to get to all of that.
Does the lack of the conspiracy indictment clear Donald Trump of collusion?
I think it does. I mean, on the basis of what I have seen.
Eric Holder. I think it does. Why don't they bring Loretta Lynch back? We're going to hear a lot more from these folks. I think that there's a strategy here on the part of the president and a few of the leaders in the Republican Party, including Lindsey Graham, to get a few answers. Now that this 2-year-long event that the Democrats have dragged this country through, this false narrative that they've dragged us through is over, and they can no longer claim, well, just wait till the report comes out. Somebody should have to answer for that. You're Andrew McCabe, you're sneaking suspicion that there might have been something more to this based on zero facts that almost led you to a soft coup in the United States by trying to enact an amendment that was never designed for what you were trying to use it for, was bordering on treasonous. So why wouldn't the folks that put us through this have to answer for it? Get their butts dragged before a Senate committee and demand to know, why did you think you had the authority to do this? Why did you think, based on false information that all came from the Steele dossier that you could never verify, nobody's ever verified any of it, so it's false information, that you should be able to subject this country to what you did? That's a shame. You know who's... There's still no apologies for the most part about any of this. Go to cut number 3. There were a couple of people at the top of the hierarchy in our intelligence community. James Clapper was one of them, leading the charge about this. One of the ones that made some of the most outrageous allegations. Go to cut 3. He's not sorry.
Do you regret anything you have said in terms of raising questions about the president's behavior or some of the things the president has done or said?
No, I don't. And I have put that in writing in my book as well. I have concerns, and as do others. And I have tried to be factual and temperate and moderate about it. But no, I don't have any regrets.
James Clapper, who looked at into the eyes of congressional investigators under oath, when asked whether or not his agency had any idea if his agency was monitoring Americans inside of this country, and he said, no, I have no information on that, when he knew darn good and well that they were recording every conversation that happens on a cell phone in America. Zero credibility. He had no credibility before. The fact that CNN or MSNBC would continue to put that joker on television is part and parcel of the dangerous problem we face in America. Let's go to exhibit number two. Chris Cuomo, cut number four.
I am outraged by the behavior of these networks.
Okay.
Collusion, 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 collusion. No collusion.
Okay, here's my case.
No collusion.
Here's my case.
Apologize.
Never. Here's my case.
Never?
Never. I didn't do anything wrong. These questions are real.
Well, I
they needed to be regarded as such.
Treasonous?
And they needed to be investigated.
No, he didn't do anything wrong. Just completely in denial. Now, which brings us back to David Brooks, New York Times Post, New York Times article that's out today. We've all just made fools of ourselves again. David Brooks. Maybe it's time to declare a national Sabbath. Maybe it's time to step back from the scandal mongering and assess who we are right now. Democrats might approach this moment with an attitude of humility and honest self-examination. It's clear many Democrats made grievous accusations against the president that are not supported by the evidence. It's clear that people like Beto O'Rourke and John Brennan owe President Trump a public apology. If you call someone a traitor and it turns out you lacked the evidence for that charge, the only decent thing to do is apologize. This is from David Brooks. This is like Robert Reich coming out and admitting that he's simply a socialist and not really an economist. I mean, this is groundbreaking stuff from David Brooks. But he's not done, because guess what? He has to drop the other foot. He also thinks that Sean Hannity-style Trumpians should approach this moment with an attitude of humility and honest self-examination. For 2 years, they've been calling the Mueller investigation a witch hunt. It was a witch hunt. So now that he admits they were wrong, he's mad for anybody on the other side of the aisle that points fingers at him for doing it. He wants us to be humble all of a sudden and show humility while they revel in such wrongness. Fat chance. 314-241-9797. Jesse Jane Duff when we come back.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Dubb joining us this morning.
Good morning, motivators. I love that you got that on recording. Oh my!
We do. We've got an open for you now. You like that?
Oh yeah. Everybody better be at the position of attention, even if you're driving your cars to work.
That's funny. That's awesome. Jesse Jane joining us this morning. Of course, former gunnery sergeant with the United States Marine Corps, retired now. Of course, senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. I love following you on Twitter at Jesse Jane Duff, because you've been busy.
Oh, I got snarky. Sometimes they just make it too easy. People were like, you're on fire, Jesse. I said, they're making it too easy. Like, I mean, I must have pushed out a good, I don't know, five or more tweets that are getting over 1,000 retweets. I went after John Brennan first. I mean, I took his quoted, his tweet where he went after the president, used his exact words where he essentially said to the president, your political future is over. Your financial success is done. And I just flipped it, used his exact words, and I said, dear John, yeah. Your political future is over. Your financial success is done. I've had so much fun.
Well, you know, you're right, because Wolf Blitzer gets on there with James Clapper and suggested that the Russians got exactly what they wanted out of the Mueller report.
Oh, gosh. These people won't quit. You know, when you're in a hole, stop digging. Haven't they read that? That's Marine 101. Come on.
It's unbelievable. You know, the bites I played there off the top is just a montage of clips dating back to 2017, where every time there was a new headline on the Mueller report, this is the end, this is the beginning of the end. They just went over it and over it and over it again. And, you know, the folks at the Media Research Council went back and looked. And the combined ABC, CBS, NBC evening newscasts did over 2,284 minutes of collusion coverage since May of 2017. That equals out to like 3 minutes a night, every night for almost 800 days.
That's shorter than what I expected. But when you throw in, you know, the New York Times articles, the Washington Post articles, you throw in all the printed media, and then you throw in the Twitter attacks, you throw in every congressional member. So first of all, we've had over 2 years of a media that has done everything they can to discredit this presidency. Give him nothing on what he has succeeded at. We've had over 2 years of Democrats seeking his impeachment. They just finally walked it back just this past week or two when they realized, oh my gosh, we may not have anything to impeach him on. And then the third thing, and the most critical thing in my mind, is you've had your establishment Republicans who have blocked him every step of the way, who have derailed him every step of the way. And I will say it now, starting with Senator John McCain. I'm sorry that it hurts his family that when he is being called out, but being a veteran does not make him exempt from criticism, particularly being an elected official. For him to have transported that dossier, knowing that it was to discredit the president of the United States and to unravel the election without even trying to verify if it was even valid or not. Even Comey came out in 2017 and said there was no factual information in it. Something of that effect. I am stunned. The three prongs that it was Republicans, Democrats, and the media in a full-out assault against this man, and yet he was still a success in the past 2 years. Look at all he has accomplished despite these people derailing him.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, somebody brought up the question yesterday, when does the investigation start on the people that started this?
You know, one thing, anybody who has not read The Art of the Deal, you need to read it. Trump is going to shoot back. I guarantee it, because he has said, you don't let somebody sabotage you, but you will be seen as a schmuck. In his own words, you will be viewed as a schmuck. If somebody, he says, I know it's not kind to say, you don't seek revenge. He says, but I believe you do, and you come back 15 times harder. That's in his own book. Because if you're going to dishonor his name, his attitude is, I'm not just going to lay back and let it go. There's people out there going, can we move on now? No! This was a Clinton con job. This was a Clinton coup. As far as I'm concerned, now's the time to pull the gloves off. Because you know what? Had he gone after her after the election, it would have looked like we were one of these South American countries where you lost and went after your opponent in the election and you tried to throw your opposition in jail. Well, now, I'm sorry, now $25 million later, and the cost of people's personal reputations. Look at General Flynn. General Flynn got swept up in this for something that never happened. How in the world is this man going to get prosecuted when they start an investigation on something that never happened, but he may be prosecuted for what he said to the FBI that he didn't even have to lie about, because what he did was not illegal in itself? speaking to the Russians as a national security advisor was appropriate because it happened after the election of Donald J. Trump. So I'm sitting back. I'm asking for the pardon of General Flynn or that these charges get dropped. They got to go back to Papadopoulos. And I'm telling you right now, every last one of these men who has lost their livelihood based upon this because of this fraudulent investigation in itself, in my opinion, even Cohen, get them out of the way. They don't deserve to be prosecuted because even Cohen, as much of a slime ball as he is, you can't pick and choose. Fine. Tell them all. This is over. Now, I'm not a legal person. Obviously, General Flynn did apparently lie to the FBI, but they were trailing him in the White House. They kept asking him questions, saying that it wasn't even about anything serious. I don't know the circumstances, but the man should not be getting prosecuted over a fraudulent investigation from day one.
Couldn't agree with you more and couldn't have said it better myself. Jesse Jane Duff, appreciate having you on, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
Have a great week, motivators, and let's take the hill.
Absolutely. At Jesse Jane Duff on Twitter, thank you so much for saying, I agree with her. First pardon that ought to be handed out is Michael Flynn, and I hope that happens next. 314-241-9797. Your phone call's coming up.
What did you have beyond the dossier? Why didn't you listen to Bruce Orr? At the end of the day, how could you use this document that's unverified to this day to get a warrant on four different occasions?
Lindsey Graham, 3.2, with some good points this morning. We appreciate that, Lindsey. Thank you. What did they know, and when did they know it? We can resurrect the old Watergate question and use it against, Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch. I can go down the list of people who ought to be questioned on how this whole debacle happened. There was never evidence of collusion. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that it took $25 million and 40 lawyers and FBI agents to deter, 19 lawyers and 40 FBI agents and analysts to figure that out. Could have saved them a whole lot of money and a whole lot of time if there had been just one or two honest people in the previous administration, but there weren't. There were political partisans who went on a witch hunt against the man that defeated her. That's what this was all about. Just telling you. Let me get to the phones here real quick. Hey, Jim, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind? Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm great. What's going on?
That's a good day, but I'm going to caution you. Don't take a victory lap too soon. you've got Brennan that just got fired by CNN. He's liable to end up on his feet at Fox News with Dirty Donna Brazil.
it could happen, although I did see yesterday where Judge Jeanine's show is resuming this Saturday.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good news.
The other thing, you list those names like Clinton and Obama. Let's not forget Paul Ryan, who's also on the board of Fox News now. He held up a lot of those subpoenas that Nunez was wanting to issue. You know, so these foul balls are still out there, and they're migrating over to the media outlets on the right. I'm a little concerned about that. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I know you're cautioning me on taking a victory lap. But the victory lap, we need to enjoy it while we can. The Democrats have not given up. They had already moved on to their own plan B before this announcement was even made. I think they saw the writing on the wall that they weren't going to get what they needed out of Mueller. Now they're going to demand the report. They're going to seize on one or two lines out of it, even though he couldn't draw the conclusion that there was collusion. He could find no evidence of it. He didn't exonerate the president on trying to obstruct justice. Well, you know, it's not the job of a prosecutor to prove somebody not guilty. It's a job of a prosecutor to look for evidence that they're guilty of something. It's never a prosecutor's job to exonerate. It's a defense attorney's job to exonerate. The prosecutor looks and says, either there's enough evidence for me to charge you with some wrongdoing, or there's not.
The the problem with the left is they've taken this to a new level, and it's with Trump and it's with everything else that's gone on the last couple of years. You're guilty until proven innocent. You know, I mean, the kid that got, I forget the name of the school, the young kid that had the problem with the Indian.
Oh, Covenant Catholic, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and there's all kinds of stuff. You know, a lot of this Me Too stuff is that way too. Guilty until proven innocent. So I was flipping between CNN and MSNBC yesterday to see what, I was kind of reveling in their grief, you know, a little bit. CNN is kind of, they were trying to play it down the middle. MSNBC was doubling down on all this.
Sure.
I mean, there was definitely a different tone between those two stations and those two networks. I mean, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Now, you know, I mentioned Dirty Donna a minute ago. If you were the chairman of the DNC or in charge of those debates, I can kind of see why they wouldn't use Fox News at this point for their primary, because she really is the one that I'll say it this way, she threw the turd in the punch bowl, and she was the one that really caused all the problems with the Sanders voters.
Oh, Brazil? No, I don't disagree with that. But I don't think that has anything to do with the Democrats' decision not to use Fox.
Well,
they haven't used them in like 15 years. It's been years since.
I understand that, Mark.
Yeah.
But Fox gave them that out now to say, well, look at who you've got working for you. And look at what she did to us last time. Why would they do that? I don't understand what Fox is doing. I guess that's where I'm headed with this. They're trying to hire these Democrats to appeal to people
but,
who aren't going to watch them, but they're turning their own viewers away.
Jim, here's the thing about it, is that, I mean, we can stand here on the radio 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and we can talk in a circle and all agree with each other, or we can do what I do at least one day a week, which is get to the bottom line, where I have a liberal in here who I can debate these topics with. And whenever you debate topics directly with a liberal, you expose them for who they are and how false their beliefs are. They don't have any arguments that stand up under the heat. I enjoy the opportunity to do that, but inevitably I will get people who will send me messages on Twitter and Facebook and email me and tell me they turn the radio off when that person's on because they don't want to hear what they have to say.
I don't think
we can live in that world.
You ought to have more liberals on. I would agree with that 100%.
All right.
I just don't think that Dirty Donna Brazil is the only liberal out there that you can get on your show.
I would agree. All right, Jim, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
You bet. I mean, she's a big name. I think it's funny when they put her down there as, you know, some sort of a, you know, presidential campaign manager. She managed one presidential campaign. That was Al Gore's, and he lost. And that's her claim to fame. So, you know, you call her a political analyst if you want, but she did oversee. She stepped into a bad situation at the DNC. She didn't help them any by feeding information from CNN to debate questions, right? She didn't help that at all by feeding those to candidates. But, you know, in the scope of things, She's not a host. She's a commentator, and she's always on the air with somebody who's going to dispute whatever lie it is she's selling that day from the DNC talking points. So that would be my take on that. To my point earlier about obstruction of justice, Virginia Cruda has a great article in the Daily Caller right now. Maybe we'll put a link up on the webpage there at 971talk.com/Cox. She makes this point, and in the article, she goes to a great length to point out that, you know, the media in this case has latched on to the fact that, well, Bob Mueller didn't exonerate anybody. We need to see the proof for ourselves. He didn't exonerate anybody. Mueller did not exonerate Trump, says Jeff Merkley, blah, 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 blah. She gets down to the bottom and she points out that they're 100% correct, but that's not the point. According to Chris Christie, who was, of course, a prosecutor himself, here's what he says on it. On the charge of obstruction of justice, Bob Mueller's report does not conclude that the president committed a crime. Christie tweeted, that's an important finding because that's what prosecutors do. They prosecute. They don't exonerate. Why? Very important point here. Why do prosecutors prosecute and not exonerate? Because we all enjoy the presumption of innocence. There is either proof in a prosecutor's mind that you did violate the law, or there's not enough proof that you violated the law, which doesn't reach the standard of charging you, and you therefore have the presumption of innocence. That's all Mueller was saying in this report, but that's what the Democrats are hanging their hat on. 314-241-9797. I got Scott Whitlock coming up. He's with the Media Research Center and Newsbusters. They've taken a look at how much time the mainstream media committed to this Russian collusion conspiracy over the last 2 years. Then Dr. Randy Tobler, and at 7:10, we'll talk about whether Missouri primaries ought to be closed.
Get more at 971talk.com.